Love you, man.
Thanks. Love you, too. All right, all right. That was an awesome introduction. I'm excited to hear myself preach after that one. How you guys doing today? Good, good. I'm doing pretty good. I'm really excited to talk to you guys today. I'm always excited to get to talk up here. A funny story about my message today is whenever Pastor Bill asks me to speak, I always have to start preparing pretty far ahead of time because currently, you know, I work full time, and it takes a while to put a message together. You got to study, you got to pray, you got to get your notes together, your scriptures together, you got to get the slides together, you got to practice it, and each time, you know, it takes about 30 to 45 minutes to run through it, and you got to do it a bunch of times. So I usually start out pretty far ahead of time, and I always ask God. I say, God, what do you want me to tell the church? Not, you know, what sounds good. What does the church need to hear? And I was hearing God wanted the church to hear about dealing with fear. I'm like, all right. So I start putting a message about fear together. And then I had it all, like, in my head. And if you remember a few weeks back, Pastor Bill gave a message called The Enemy of Faith, which was preaching on fear. And he basically preached my entire message. There you go. Like, it was almost verbatim. It was kind of crazy. Like, even to the point where I remember he compared faith and fear as, like, same power, one is believing something good will happen, one is believing something. I was going to say that too, even to the point of the prayer he prayed at the end of it. And at first I was like, the man's preaching my message. I got to come up with a new one. But then God was like, wait a minute, that's awesome that God speaks the same thing to two different people. So then I said, well, God, what do you want me to say? And then God said, well, teach them how to counteract it, and not just fear, but all of their enemies. So first I asked Pastor Bill, I said, what are you preaching on next week? He said, well, I was going to teach how to counteract it, but God told me not to. And I was like, that's good. Do that. Say that. It's because I'm supposed to do that. Okay. So thankfully, he hasn't preached this message yet, so now I get to be the one that gives it. So that's awesome. If you need notes, if you haven't gotten notes yet, there should be one in your worship guide. If you don't, raise your hand. The ushers will get you one. Richard, there's a buzz. You might want to mute the camera, or excuse me, the computer. That should help it. Oh, cool. Give a hand for Richard. He's doing a great job. Yeah. Sound is very important. Sound is very important. You never know they're back there until, like, you hear something bad going on. So when they're doing a good job, you don't know they're there. So, you know, always remember to thank the sound guy when you leave. And actually, everyone back there, computer, camera, I'm back there a lot. It means a lot when you thank them. So make sure you do that. So the title of my message today is called, if you want to put up the first slide, it's called The Enemy of My Enemies. The Enemy of My Enemies. So who are your enemies, first of all? Well, we tend to think people are our enemies, right? And maybe bad situations are our enemies. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, it's not up on the screen, but in Ephesians 6:12, it says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Or, in essence, what that means is the enemy is not who or what, the enemy is the spirit behind who or what. So if they got, like, a married couple and they're heading towards divorce because they've had a terrible argument or several terrible arguments, the enemy isn't really the argument or what they're arguing about. The enemy is the spirit behind what is doing that to their marriage. And you can argue till the cows come home and no one will ever admit they're right. But if you focus on what the spirit is behind it together as a couple and you pray against that, that's a lot more effective, isn't it? Right? So, for example, if God called you to be a missionary and you knew it, but you were afraid of something bad, a danger happening to you on the way there or when you get there, is your enemy the dangers? No, the enemy is the fear of it, the spirit of fear that lives inside of you. You have to deal with the fear first. That's the true enemy of it. Or maybe God's called you to minister to a certain people group, but you don't like that people group because of whatever X, Y, and Z. Is your enemy the people group? No, your enemy is hate, the hate that lives inside of you, the spirit of hate. You deal with the hate first. That's the true enemy. Or a lot of people have this sort of issue. Maybe God's been speaking to your heart. He's starting to tell you he's got something for you to do. But you don't think you can do that thing. You think somebody else would be better to do that thing. Is the problem, is the enemy really that other people would be better to do what God called you to do? No, the real enemy is condemnation. It's our self-condemnation. It's a spirit of self-condemnation inside of you, and you have to deal with that first. So there's a whole bunch of enemies I could name, and really everyone at some point has dealt with all of these, but it's different which one is strongest in different each people. But with all these enemies, wouldn't it be great if you had a secret weapon, like something that could just wipe them out, just take them out, just destroy them? Wouldn't that be awesome? Yeah. Well, I'm here to tell you there actually is a secret weapon that can do that, an enemy of your enemies, so to speak. Someone should write a message about that. So that's the name of my message, and that's what we're going to answer today. What is the enemy of my enemies? If you go to the next slide, we're going to answer three questions today. Question number one is, what is my greatest weapon? Question number two, why do I need it? Question number three, what do I do with it? So we're going to start with question number one, and in your notes, it's your first fill in the blank. What is my greatest weapon? So fill in this blank. The most powerful weapon I have against my enemies is love. Love. L-O-V-E, love. So you might be thinking, Michael, we're not Care Bears. We don't shoot love beams out of our stomach at things. No, we're not Care Bears. I'm not talking about a magical power. I'm not talking about a ooey-gooey feeling or anything mystical like that. I'm talking about the God kind of love. So that's the kind of love that's talked about in the Bible. And there is scriptural precedence. And we'll use fear first. Let's talk about fear. So if you go with me to 1 John 4:18, it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. So basically what the Bible's saying right there is, if you got love inside of you, perfect love, there's no room for fear in there. It can't fit. Did you know that love is actually the opposite of fear? So remember I told you a few weeks ago, Pastor Bill was talking about faith and fear, how they're essentially the same thing. Fear is believing something bad will happen regardless of the circumstances, and faith is believing something good will happen regardless of the circumstances. So they're basically the same, just one's good and one's bad. But love is the opposite of fear. Because fear is not acting because you think something bad might happen. Love is acting even though something bad might happen. Let me say that again. Fear is not acting because you think something bad might happen. Love is acting even though something bad might happen. So it's the exact opposite. That's why perfect love casts out fear. They cannot exist in the same body. So, but it's not just fear that love is the enemy of. So if somebody asked you, what would the Bible say is the greatest attribute you can get? What's the best thing the Bible says you can get? Well, you might think faith, right? You might think, yeah, faith is the strongest thing the Bible says you can have. Well, let's see what the scripture says is the strongest thing you can have. Go with me to 1 Corinthians 13:13. And now abide faith, hope, and love, these three, great things, right? Awesome things to have. But the greatest of these is love. Did the Bible just say love is better than faith? It did, didn't it? Isn't that what it said? So now we've just answered question one. What is my greatest weapon against the enemy? It is love. It is love. So now we move on to question two in your fill in the blanks. Why do I need it? Why do I need it? Okay, and you're going to fill this in. Love replaces the enemies inside of you. Let me explain further. And here, I'll tell you the why. This is the why. And I'll tell you the why for me, why I needed love. And then you apply it to your situation. Because circumstances differ, but the why is always the same. My circumstances are different than yours, but the same reason I need love is the same reason you need love. So growing up, I knew I always wanted to be in ministry. Like, it was built into me. I loved it. I always wanted, I like preached to my teddy bears, and I watched my dad preach all the time. I did everything I could because I wanted to be in ministry. I studied the Bible. I learned it all, like, as hard as I could. But I had one problem, a big problem. I had a lot of fear in my life. I was afraid of two things in particular. First thing I was really afraid of is I was terrified to talk to people I didn't know. Like, I can't explain it. I would walk up to someone, and my throat would close up, my heart would pound, I would get overheated, and my mind would go blank. And it was very frustrating, and I fought it for many years, even into adulthood. And I prayed, but I just couldn't get the victory over it. And the second thing I'm afraid of is, I don't mean to freak anyone out, but ever since I was little, I had bad dreams. And I would always see this same thing in my dream. It was this creepy-looking thing with a creepy-looking face. And it would appear all the time, like, especially when I was little, like 2 or 3 times a week, if not more. But even into my adulthood. And we can talk about what that was all the time. Was it, you know, I think it was a spirit of fear, but it could have, you know, been my mind picturing something there. But regardless of what it was, the point is it was very real to me. And can anyone relate, maybe not to that, but something very real to you that others have trouble understanding? It can be very difficult, can it? Because you don't even know how to explain it to people. And again, I fought it, I prayed against it. It's going to be kind of hard to be a minister if you can't sleep all the time. So I even got to the point where I would, in my dreams, speak scripture against it. And it would, like, push it away for a while, but it always came back. Can anyone else relate to something like that? You push it away, but it keeps coming back. That can get pretty frustrating, can it? So why couldn't I beat it? I didn't understand until my parents met a man named Bernie. And he taught us the concepts my parents used for the Freedom Group. And so we have a Freedom Small Group in our church, which basically is dealing with the pains of our past to protect our future, to ensure our future. And it deals with what I'm talking about, that not the problems itself, but the spirit behind it. So what he has, this worksheet that he's made over the years of these questions you fill out, and it helps you figure out where the first, like if you have a problem with hate, where was the first time you hated someone? Where did that come from? Or the first thing you were afraid of? This and that. And my parents have taken that. When he does it, it's a one-on-one. It's like one long session. My parents have made it into a group session over a week. So really, if you want to be set free from things, I'm really pushing that Freedom Small Group. And we're having another one, aren't we, right? Yeah, so make sure you go to that. I don't care how old you are, go to that. Plug. I'm plugging my parents' small group. Go to that. But, so Bernie helped me, taking me through, he calls it deliverance, we call it the Freedom Group, but he took me through that deliverance to figure out what my problem was. And long story short, I'm going to kind of paraphrase to make it not too long. He figured out, or he helped me through the Holy Spirit, figure out what my problem was and why I couldn't beat it. And it wasn't what I thought it was going to be. The problem with me, and I'm going to get very real with you, is that even though I really wanted to be in ministry and it was really important to me and I wanted to help, I was doing it for the wrong reasons. I was doing it out of pride, and I didn't even know that. I thought I was better than them. I'm just going to be honest. I thought, think at yourself. Do you ever think you're better than people? I didn't even realize it until he said it to me. He said, you're doing this out of pride, and you don't have a real love for these people. And he said, because of that, you don't love God the way you think you do. And that shook me. That shook me hard. And it's true, because if you look at this scripture, it's 1 John 4, starting in verse 7. It says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love God, He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So if I'm having trouble loving people, I'm having trouble loving God, because God is love. So like I said, guys, that wrecked me. And everyone needs to be wrecked at some point in your life like that. That's a good wrecking. And my mom was there. She saw it. I fell down, and tears were pouring out of my eyes and everything. And I repented to God right there. I said, God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Please, I repent. Fill me with a love for these people, because the truth is, I'm not better than them. Nobody's better than anybody else. It doesn't matter what my last name is. Yep, you can cop that. I had the same animosity towards God that they did. I just happened to be blessed enough to have people in my life early on to teach me. So that put a love for people who haven't had that yet. And it's not me that does it. It's God that does it through me. And guys, let me tell you, God filled my heart with such love. The next time a new person walked into the church, I went running towards that new person. I was not afraid in the least. And I just went, hi, how you doing? You know, I it was really awkward, but I didn't. I had to practice how to do it right, but just because I wasn't afraid anymore doesn't mean I know how to do it. So I'd be like, hi, I see you're wearing clothes. I'm also wearing clothes. That's something, you know. Yeah. Thankfully, I have sister-in-laws to tell me I'm being really weird, so they help. You know, one time, Jamie's pulled me aside before and said, Michael, we want you to get married. You can't. She's like, if you say that to a woman, she's going to run the other direction. So my loving sister-in-laws, actually both of them, am I doing better? Am I? Yes, okay. Thank you. She said much better is what she said. So, yeah. Anyway, so love replaced that fear of talking to people. Because what Bernie told me is your fear is preventing you from those you love. So and I was like, no way, I'm not letting that happen. I don't care how scary it is. And that fear, that thing that would appear in my dreams, that clicked to me that thing is also preventing me from those that I love. And I was waiting. Let me tell you, I was waiting for that thing to appear in my dreams again because I was ready for it this time. And in my adulthood, it's a dream, but I feel like it's real. It appeared to me again, that creepy blah thing, here it goes. And let me tell you what, I looked at that thing, like kind of like this, and you've never seen something so terrified as that thing was of me when I looked at it like that. And I pointed my finger at it, and I said, you are between me and those that I love. Leave now or I will cast you to the pit in Jesus' name. And that thing went running out of the room, and I cast it to the pit anyway. I didn't care. I said, in Jesus' name, you go to the pit. And let me tell you, I've never seen that thing again after that. So the two biggest fears in my life, the two things that were controlling the most, as soon as I got love in my heart, boom, gone, like that. The Bible's not just saying things. It's true. If you have perfect love inside of you, there is no place for fear to exist there. Because fear says, I will do anything for the one I love or the one I care about. I don't care what stands in my way. So think about your own situation. What is it that God's calling to you to do? What's standing in your way? Is it hate? Is it fear? Is it pain? What is it? You speak to that thing. You tell it to get out of your way. Get out of the way of those that you love. Amen? So thank God, before I went into ministry, God did that for me. Because the Bible's very serious about having love in ministry. Because if you... if you've ever known someone who was just an awesome minister, and not even a minister, just an awesome person, but they failed before, like they made some sin and they fell away and they lost what they're doing, how could that possibly happen? It's because they didn't have love. If you go to the next scripture, we're going to 1 Corinthians 13:13. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understanding all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, does this sound like someone you've known before? So that I could remove mountains, that's awesome. But have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. The Bible's very serious about love. It's very important. You gotta have love. It's the driving force of the Bible. It says it's the most important thing you can have, even more than faith. So that is why you need love in your life. That is the why. So now, let's talk about what do I do with it? Your third fill in the blank in the third question, what do I do with it? Find out who needs you to love them. Find out who needs you to love them. A couple weeks ago, I told you Pastor Bill was speaking about fear, and he said something very profound. He said, there's someone in your life that needs you to overcome your fear. And it's true. And there's someone in your life that needs you to love them. You got to figure out who that is. So let's go to 1 John 4:11. It says, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. And if we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. Or basically, Basically, no one's seen God, like we just said, but I just read that God is love in a different scripture, right? So when you love one another, you see the face of God. That's what God is. God is love. That's why it's so important. So who needs you to love them? So again, I'm going to give you who God has said I need to love, and then you apply it to your situation. So you want to put that next slide up there? This is who God needs me to love, and these are two separate numbers. It's 80% and greater than 100. 80% and greater than 100, these are the two people God needs me to love. What does that mean? Well, Pastor Bill gave this percentage last week. 80% is the amount of people in Alachua County and on the UF campus that don't go to church in our county. That's incredibly high for this county, 80% of people who don't know God. That's who needs me to love them. And the second number there is greater than 100, and that's how many nations are represented on the UF campus. Over 100 nations are there. And these are leaders of their countries. They're here for a time, and they're going back to be leaders. So what an opportunity to reach someone who's going to be a leader, reach them with the love and power of God, and send them back to their country to be leaders. And if you've ever been in college ministry before, you've talked to these other people, you say the name of Jesus, they say, who's that? Like, they've never even, most people in our country, you've at least heard the name of Jesus, right? They've never even heard it before. So what an opportunity. This is who God needs me to love. So what am I going to do about it? How am I going to do it? Well, as you know, I've been the college minister here for a little while now, and it's been great. We've done an awesome job. We built that pavilion out there. We've been getting people out there. It's been going great. But there's been one, but there's been one issue is I haven't had enough time to really lead it because I work full time, which I love my job. My job is great, but I work full time and I can't put the energy I need to it. So Pastor Bill has announced the last 2 weeks, if you've probably heard it, that I am taking steps to go into full-time ministry for Victory Church. Yeah, thank you. So what does that mean? I got to reach these people, right, especially on the campus. And as Pastor Bill said, the church doesn't have the funds to hire somebody else. Even if they did, I would tell them not to give it to me and go buy a church in Gainesville. So how am I going to do this? Well, God put it on my heart, such a burden, to raise my own funding to be in full-time ministry. Now, what does that mean? That means I got to meet with a lot of people. I got to train myself. I got to spend a while meeting with people to be ministry partners with me. And I've been getting training how to do it. So I read this. And by the way, this isn't a strange thing or a rare thing. Most college ministers actually do this because college students don't tend to have a lot of money, so when they give their tithes, it's not enough to support them anyway, so they do often raise their own funding. So I've been getting training. I read a book called The God Ask, which is written by Steve Shadrach. Even if you're not going into ministry, I recommend reading that. It talks very godly principles about finances. And first of all, it taught me that this is a really good thing. You know, a lot of people get like, oh no, I'm asking for a handout. No, this is a good thing, a God thing. That's what Jesus did. Jesus was full-time minister and people, he was supported by offerings. That's what Paul did. Paul would occasionally be a tent maker, but for his preferred method was being funded by the giving of others. And Peter and all the other apostles. And it's funny, when I started reading it, it poses a question to you. It says, if you could push a button, and magically, a magic button that gives you all the funding you could ever need for your ministry for the rest of your life, would you push it? And you're like, well, of course I would push it. Who wouldn't want to push that button? And then it poses a second question, and it says, I'm going to challenge you. When you're done reading and training this book, you would say no to that question. I was like, okay, sure. Then I finished my training, I did it, and I said, no, I would not push that button. Because I would not want to rob the opportunity of having a full ministry team behind me, and I would not want to rob these people of the amazing reward they would get for giving into this ministry. Because this is, the Bible says you get a 100-fold return. So Here's what the ministry is going to look like, all right? Basic thing. Here's the college and Victory Church's full-time college ministry. It's not my ministry, it's Victory Church's ministry. So we'll start by doing Bible studies on campus. I'll first ask our own college students, can I lead a Bible study in your dorm? Invite all your friends to it. We're going to be doing the Bible study called Firm Foundations. And we're going to go through the book. It's an amazing book, awesome book. And when I'm done teaching them, I'm going to give them the book and say, you guys go out and do your own Bible study with other people. And I meet as many Bible studies as possible. I'll be tabling on campus full time. I'll be mentoring students. And we're going to funnel them all to the pavilion, which we already got set up. We'll be doing events out there, doing worship events. We recently did a laser tag event and got a ton of people out there. So we'll do more like that. I used to be, when I was competing on the show American Ninja Warrior, I built a full American Ninja Warrior course in my parents' yard. And I plan on moving that out there. They're probably very happy that that's not in their yard anymore. And having free American Ninja Warrior contests out there, that'll get a lot of people. And whatever events we can think of, if you have ideas, please come to me. But throughout all those events, I'll have young men and women that I'm raising up wearing bright shirts that say prayer team on them. And they'll be walking around giving people free water and saying, can I pray with you? Can I tell you about Jesus? Can I do this and that and this and that? And that's going to keep growing and growing and growing up more people. And what we're going to do is we're going to turn that 80%, we're going to turn that into a 0% on the UF campus. Amen. And we're going to touch those over 100 nations on the UF campus and the Santa Fe campus. We're going to get them both, and we're going to touch them with the love and power of God and send them back to their countries to be leaders over there and lead them in the love and power of God. Doesn't that sound awesome? Doesn't that sound great? So I'm really excited about it. So basically for the next, I still got 2 more weeks at work, and then I got 2 weeks off. And then starting in September, for 100 days, all I'm going to do is meet with people who want to be ministry partners with me, who have a say in it, who donate to me in the ministry every month. I can set it up through the website. Pastor Bill is going to set up a page for people to give. It'll come out every month. Or I can give you a stack of envelopes with the right address on it. You can mail them in. Or you can just hand them to me. Whatever it is. But please pray about it. Or if you're just thinking about it, you can meet with me. I'm going to meet with everyone in person starting in September. If you got kids, I'll meet with your kids too with there. If they just want to give me $5 a month, that's awesome. That's a great way to train your kids how to give into the kingdom of God. But remember, I'm going to stress this. Do not give me your tithe. Do not give me the tithe. That goes to the church. So if you've only allotted in your funding, you've only allotted enough to pay for your tithe, do not split that in half and give it to me. That doesn't belong to me. That goes to the church. This is, tithes go to the church, alms go to the poor, offerings are above the tithe. So pray about that. And if you don't want to do it, that's fine. God wouldn't ask me to do this if he didn't have other people lined up to fund me. But I'm so excited. I want to give you guys, the church, the first opportunity to do that. Because, thank you. Because when we turn that 80% to a 0%, I want you to have your name written on that 0% when you get to heaven. So please talk to me afterwards about that. I'll write your name down and your number, and we'll talk in September. So that's my people I need to reach. Who do you need to reach? Now, we're not all called to be full-time ministers, but we're all called to minister to someone, right? Yeah, where you work, that's your ministry field. Where you go to school, that's your ministry field. Do you have love for those people? Have you gotten love for those people yet? If you haven't yet, go to the Freedom Group. You'll get love really fast, trust me. I know my parents look sweet, but they will beat love right into you. No. No, they're sweet. Don't, yeah. But yeah, no. So first, but you know, also awesome, we're having Growth Track today. So where better to figure out where you're supposed to be than what's it called? Discovery, sorry, it used to be called Growth Track. Discovery today. We're having that, so you can go to that. That'll help you too. But if you keep saying, Michael, I can't figure out what my mission is supposed to be, help somebody else with their mission first. If you go to the next scripture there, it says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So if you're believing God, what's my mission? Who am I supposed to love? How am I going to do it? That's the awesome thing about being in church. I bet you can look around and find 5 people where God's given them the next step they need to take, and you help those people first, and then you get helped. So even if it's not me, help somebody. You know, it doesn't have to be me. I'm just one member of the church. There's a whole bunch of members here. So help somebody with that, and God will touch you with the love and power of God. So who needs you Who needs you to love them? And what is keeping you back from loving them? So let's say you're afraid. Let's say fear is keeping you back from loving someone. You speak to that fear, just like I did. You look right at that fear and you say, you are between me and those that I love. Leave now or be cast to the pit in Jesus' name. Maybe it's hate. Maybe hate's holding you back from loving people. You speak to that hate. You say to that hate, you are between me and those that I love. Maybe it's pain, sickness in your body. Maybe pain is holding you back. You speak to that pain. You say, you are between me and those that I love. Leave now or I will cast you to the pit in Jesus' name. Maybe it's unforgiveness. Maybe you've had people hurt you in the past, family members, whatever it is, and it's really hurt and you can't get over it and it's holding you back. You speak to that unforgiveness. You say, you are between me and those that I love. Leave now or be cast to the pit in Jesus' name. Guys, on January 1st, that's when my ministry starts. If I stepped onto that campus and the devil and all his demons were in front of me, I would say that same thing to them. Like, you are between me and those that I love. Leave now or be cast to the pit. That is not a safe place for you to be. Whatever is in front of you and those that you love is not a safe place for that thing to be. You get rid of that thing in Jesus' name. You say, in Jesus' name, get out of my life. I am a child of God, and you will not stop me in Jesus' name. And they have to leave. That's what the Bible says, right? Amen. Did anyone get anything out of this today? So guys, I want to pray a special prayer today. You've been hearing me talking about love, and you want more love in your life. So I'm going to pray a special blessing of love. Remember, you got to take steps after this. But if you can go ahead and close your eyes, if anybody would like me to pray that special prayer of love over them, to put love in their lives, would you please raise your hand right now? Father, I pray over these hands, Lord, these amazing people who want more love in their life, Jesus. I pray for them that you would grant them the love that they need to bless those that you've called them to bless. I pray against all evil things that would try to come against them. I say, you are between my church and those that they love. Leave now in Jesus' name or be cast into the pit. So Lord, bless these people and these hands that are up right now. This is an awesome opportunity. Thank you, Lord, for these great men and women of God, Lord Jesus. Bless them and fill them with love in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm proud of you guys. That's awesome. Taking next steps. That's what we're all about. So now, I got another question for you, and it's the most important question anyone has ever asked you. If you were to die tonight, do you know for sure you would go to heaven? We always like to ask people this question. You might say, I think so, I hope so, I'm not sure. Can anyone know for sure? Well, the Bible says you can know for sure. The Bible says, I write these things to you, little children, that you may know that you have eternal life. Now, that means there comes a time in your life where you repent of your sin and you ask Jesus to come in and make you into a new person. So in just a minute, I'm going to give you opportunity to do that. I'm not going to ask you to stand up or come forward. Everyone's eyes are going to be closed. All I'm going to do is ask you to raise your hand and repeat a prayer after me, and we're all going to help you. But I have another question for you. Maybe you've done that before in the past, but you know right now you're not where you're supposed to be with God, and you want to rededicate your life to the Lord from this day forward. In just a minute, I'm going to give you a chance to raise your hand. So even if either of those two things apply to you, you want to give your life to God for the first time, or you want to rededicate your life to the Lord, with every head bowed and every eyes closed, go ahead and raise your hand right now if you want to do that. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Awesome. Awesome. Anyone else? A couple more seconds. Okay. I'm going to lead these in a prayer who've raised their hand, and we're all going to pray it with them. Repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I cannot save myself. I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is your Son and He died on the cross for my sins, and God raised Him from the dead. Lord Jesus, right now, I repent of my sin. I invite you to come in and make me into a new person. Be my Lord and Savior. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Give the Lord praise. People just got born again and birthed into the kingdom of God.